You are listening to the Novel Writing Podcast, episode 120. Grab a cup, cozy up, and let's get to writing. Today's episode is about writing better relationships. Now, if that sounds weird, because as writers, don't we want to be writing messed up relationships? Then stay with me. I was on a call recently with my coach where the topic was about relationships, specifically how he and his wife cultivate a better relationship between them and how those improvements affect their parenting, aka being better partners makes them better parents. And it reinforced to me that the way to write better marriages and relationships is not to impose idealistic standards that we get from reading romances, but to look to real life examples of good relationships to find out what actually works. The problem is that so many people have a hard time finding these examples in real life. Literature and on-screen stories are full of dysfunctional relationships, both parental and romantic, which tends to normalize how we perceive that dysfunction, when what we need more of is representation of healthy relationships, and sometimes portrayals of healthy healing from broken relationships. And that's why I'm talking about this today. In my third book, I have an arc of reunion and healing between two partners. And my first attempt at writing it involved a lot of tears, not on my part, on the character's part, but ultimately pretty quick forgiveness, even though in reality it would not work like that at all. My editor rightly pointed this out, and as I'm working on rewrites, I'm actually having a lot of fun drawing out the process and making it more realistic for the personalities involved. So through this rewrite, these three things dawned on me for ways to write better relationships. Number one, have an idea for your end state, not just how the relationship starts. If you don't know where the relationship is going, that's not the end of the world. But having an inkling provides you with enough direction to write the relationship with a reduced risk of writing yourself into a corner. For me, the partner relationship I'm writing in book three needs to go through a healing arc so that they are reconciled at the end of it and can present a united front again to those around them. Also, knowing where you want the relationship to end up gives you better opportunities to craft obstacles the characters must overcome in order to reach that end state. Number two, find examples of real-world relationships that mirror or contrast what you're looking to convey in your story. Sometimes there are impossibly cute fairy tale-type relationships that exist in the real world. My parents were one of them. They met and were engaged within 3 weeks, married a year later, and were solidly together until my dad passed after 37 years together. Theirs was the real-life love story, and also a really great example of a partnership that worked. While it depends on the type of story you're writing, having a real-life mirror or contrast to the relationship you're trying to correctly portray is one of the best research tools for a fictional relationship. We like to write idealized versions of romance and friendships, and while I'm not saying to not do that, I am aware of the draw and influence that those fictional representations can have on our expectations of people in the real world. Our imaginations are powerful and limitless, but let's feed them something real too. And number three, don't sacrifice your character's personalities to make the relationship fit what you want or expect it to be. I did this to one of my characters in book three. I totally sacrificed her personality to make the quick fix happen, and it was a complete betrayal to that character. So when I had my review call with Haley, I was 100% on board with her suggested changes for that from the first time that it even came up, because the truth is that I didn't want to sacrifice her character, but I hadn't known how to not do that in the first draft. But it's also important to recognize why I was sacrificing her character at all. I've had these characters in my head for years, and I was so anxious for them to get back together in the book that I actually rushed it. This was a case of the author's desires becoming more important than the needs of my characters and the needs of the story. I have to remind myself that the characters don't exist to satisfy my every whim. At some level, every character is as real a person as a real person, and we can't control other people. It's hard to control our characters sometimes, and when we do try to exert too much control, we end up where I ended up with this particular partner relationship, aka not working. Our characters can surprise us if we let them, and I have no shortage of being surprised by mine. This is by no means an exhaustive list on ways to write better relationships, but I do hope it's helpful to add to your assortment of writing tools. That's it for today's episode. Thanks for joining me, and remember, the first draft is supposed to be garbage. The Novel Writing Podcast is a production of Tally Inc. To find out more about our writing resources, including the 60-day novel writing challenge, check out the links in the description.